You're listening to the GoCast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the About Last Night show. I am Brad Williams. My co-host, of course, Adam Ray. Woo!
Yo, get used to that song not being in your ears too much longer. Because our, first of all, welcome to the show. I'm Adam, that's Brad. Dick, our engineer, off to the right.
Depressing Dick.
Depressing Dick. We have a original theme song that I wrote that Brad and I are going to do the vocals for in a couple weeks. And a buddy of mine, Andrew DeWitt, who is a documentary film score composed it, and it's fucking dope, isn't it? I just played it for you before
the
show.
It's going to be good, and I hope I make it that far that I hear it, because I got some death threats on Twitter today.
What?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Let me introduce our guest first,
please.
and then I'll get into the midget death threats.
I love it.
Our guest today, he is on the sitcom Two Broke Girls,
he's one of the stars.
He's one of the stars.
And also, let's just talk about sitcoms and their shelf life and how popular most of them are. Not that popular. This is like the number one show in the world. That might be a slight exaggeration, but it's pretty fucking popular, ladies and gentlemen. Jonathan Kite.
Jonathan Kite, who plays Oleg on the show, everybody.
How you guys doing today?
Doing wonderful, Jonathan Kite.
I'm glad you hyped the show, because the intro for me originally was, listen, I'm getting some death threats on Twitter. I'm like, listen.
This is the guy.
Speaking of death threats on Twitter.
Listen, I got some Big Bang Theory fans that really fucking hate you.
Yeah. Apparently. Death threats on Twitter. I've only gotten those... A couple times, but
because now the show you're almost done with the second season.
Yeah,
and so obviously the popularity is increasing. So you're getting more attention, and now I'm curious, at what point do you enter the world of like stalkers? Well, Facebook stalkers for sure, or just crazy people who either think you're a real character or
I think that. Well, the good thing about me is I've often been told that I don't look like who I am on the show. That
you don't look like a creepy cook.
Yeah, well, thank God. I was like, my mother will appreciate that.
Right. What a great compliment. You know, you play that really creepy guy that's always hitting on the waitresses. You don't look like that at all. I mean,
that's their pickup line to me.
That's way better than, you know, you are perfectly cast and perfectly look like the guy.
I thought it was a documentary. I was expecting to go on Megan's Law just to read about you, and you weren't there, so it was awesome to know that.
Now, he's the character you play is Russian.
He's a Ukrainian.
Ukrainian.
You were on the show.
Yeah.
And what was your ethnicity? Were you Italian?
I was Italian. You know what's funny? First of all, when people – because the show is so popular, so when I go up on some place, you know, they'll drop that credit, and then people put on sites for stuff. But people then will see me and either go, I love you on the show, or what were you on the show? Because we love that show. We couldn't quite remember. And I'm always like, oh, I just had a
delivery guy number five,
1.5 lines in the kitchen. But it was like the Martha Stewart 2-part episode.
It was huge.
Like, it was a big episode
when Martha Stewart played herself.
Yeah.
It was the season finale. It was building up to the hour special. It was huge.
You know what's funny? I did the season finale of Two Broke Girls and the season premiere of According to Jim. So the resume.
Let's just say you do hits.
Pretty much. If you want to start your sitcom off right or end it with a bang, you book Adam Ray, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
And if you want long shelf life, you book Jonathan Kite.
Yeah, exactly.
As your creepy fry cook.
But no, I had one line, and it was basically they were walking through the kitchen, and I was like, hey, where are you going with that big metal box? Why don't you guys come over here and have sex with me? And the line before was something a little more where it was like, hey, where are you ladies going? Like, I'll help you out. Like, you know, why don't we go do this and whatever? And it didn't get a laugh. And so Michael Patrick King and the director come over and they're like, have a little more fun with it. They do it again. Doesn't get a laugh. Then he comes over and he goes, just say, where are you guys going with that big metal box? Come over here and have sex with me. Fucking everybody just goes nuts. And he goes, yeah, that was it. We got it.
Yeah, because the line after that was, you appreciate Oleg's subtlety.
Yeah.
Which is the character that I play. Because all the times I hit on them, there's like a pun or something involved with it.
Yeah.
And it was to show that they're lucky to have a sex offender like me in the kitchen.
Dude, yeah, but you're a likable...
Lucky!
Yeah, but you're a likable sex offender. Well, there was one line in a clip...
By the way, the likable sex offenders are playing Coachella this year. And oh my God, I'm stoked.
Nobody will open for them. Nobody opens
for the Wiggles. The Wiggles are opening for them. But they
get your kids there, guys. Get early.
But but there's one line you had where they Beth was like, "Would Noah say anything different?" And you were like, "Something about her breasts." And you were like, "I noticed your B's went to a C."
C's, and for that, I give you an A,
dude. I mean,
there you go.
It's a great line. And you're just fucking, you're so dry with it, man. And you lean over the thing, and it's just fucking hilarious.
For examples of Jonathan Kite's genius, we have Depressing Dick, our sound guy, who brought up a YouTube Best of Oleg video.
Know, why is he Depressing Dick, bro? I just filmed.
Well, he is Depressing Dick because as Adam and I will be having joyful. Conversations.
Yeah, we feel like the show is very the upbeat banter. Like we like to have a good time. Yeah.
Sure,
sure.
And Dick is likes to join in on the fun. But a couple episodes ago, he liked to drop the news on us. Halfway through, he just goes, "Hey guys, want to hear something really fucking sad?" Out of nowhere. First of all, why would you in any group setting ever drop that line?
You're like a Philip Seymour Hoffman character. Not Philip Seymour Hoffman. He has plenty of joy. But you're like a character, or like a Paul Giamatti.
Can you do either one of those guys? By the way,
I feel like Paul Giamatti always gets gets off the right before the scene starts. Mm-hmm. He always just got a phone call that he's got cancer. So like he always comes into it like and actually like oh. Okay. Okay. Like, he's going to have to, deal with this
dude,
now.
Dude, the lip tuck is he's great.
Like, well. Okay. Like, he's not prepared, but he's still going to, fight forward. And then Philip Seymour Hoffman's always, like, the opposite of that, where, like, it's the world is over. He's like, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Or like he just came.
Yeah.
Like Philip Seymour Hoffman's character, he just came.
Yeah.
And action.
Yeah.
That would definitely be Depressing Dick, because we were having a joyous conversation and Dick just chimes and goes, guys, do you guys want to hear some really sad news? And we can't say no and then move on. You have to say,
he said somebody really
news?
Famous died. Then he said that. So immediately, who would you think of? Because you start playing the game, all right, who do I think is famous enough that would be worthy of Dick interrupting the show right now?
Right.
That passed away. So I start, immediately I go, Obama got shot.
Emilio Estevez. Sure.
But not necessarily in that order. I might have gone Emilio first.
No, yeah. If there's,
absolutely.
Because I heard talks of a Mighty Ducks 5, so I don't.
By the way, I love how Emilio, Charlie Sheen has this aura and energy that no one assumed Charlie Sheen was dead from that conversation. You're like, Emilio.
Emilio.
The tiger blood has kept him alive. He's invincible.
Well, Charlie Sheen just wakes up in the morning, sucks the blood of a hooker, and then somehow he's good.
Yeah.
So
he's immune.
You know who killed him? It was Goldberg from Mighty Ducks 3 when he swapped him out for the chick to play goalie.
Oh,
that was tough.
He still held a grudge.
Goldberg never recovered. By the way, I'm copywriting it right now. We're going to do a fake reality show called
Goldberg
Never Recovered. where we figure out where you or I will play him.
Where's Goldberg?
Yeah. Or maybe it's some play on words with him being a goalie, couldn't stop the puck, or I don't know.
He's randomly in doorways. He's like in random doorways, and people are like, "You're blocking our business. Please leave." He's like, "Give me money." Or real quick,
it'll be called Goldberg Doesn't Give a Puck.
There you go.
Yeah.
Goldberg doesn't
give a puck.
That's on Oxygen, right? But it'd be great if it was like it's like a Where's Waldo, but where's Goldberg? And it's like, but it's like a bunch of people enjoying their lives, and then just cut to a guy in a trash can. But it's like super easy. Where's Waldo? It's just like, got him.
He's right there in front of the
Yo,
camera.
Yo, a live action Where's Waldo? That's actually kind of a great idea.
That's I feel like that's a great improv everywhere type thing.
Yeah.
Live action, Where's Waldo?
Yeah. Where's Waldo? Yeah. And then everybody, but the really confusing one would be when everyone dresses up as Waldo, but has three eyes or three breasts from Total Recall or something.
I'm fine with that.
You can't get the, one.
Well, for those of our listeners who for some reason are not. Oh, I'm sorry. We got to get back to the Depressing
Dick.
I want to
see the.
Huell Howser died, and which is a big deal.
Yeah, it was a huge deal.
Yeah, but so, we broke the show for that. And but then we just kept calling back to it because.
I feel like this is a little bit of a theme, though. What?
Conrad Bain.
Oh, yeah. Next week, you told us Conrad Bain died.
Wow.
Actually, you know what, Dick? We got to stay consistent. You know what?
Charles Durning passed away.
Wait, today?
No, before. Show.
Dick, you're going to have to start researching now before every show because somebody died today.
Why is he?
Will you look it up, actually? After we play this clip.
How come your name isn't like Obit Dick?
Obit Dick. I might like that one.
Tell you who's dead in the news today. Breaking news.
Obit Dick.
Obit Dick is here.
Yeah, that's funny because Dick is a awesome radio DJ. And Dick, will you do your little radio thing for John real quick?
It's the big hot rocket, non-stop, and less talking, boss shocking, head knocking, finger popping, Yankee cranking, honey spanking, wham bam, thank you, ma'am, 50,000 watt blowtorch of rock and roll. That is the Brad and Adam Show.
Yeah.
That is every morning drive outside.
Yeah, dude. What if you did that and then just go, all right, so 11 people died today. Let's get into it real quick.
I was going to say, what if it's like somebody who had, it was the guy who was there to deliver the important news, like the weather or the traffic that day, and that was just a monologue, and there was like a commercial break in the monologue, and he came back and he was like, yeah, something went out.
It's Pop Rockin' Show. 75 degrees and sunny.
Yeah.
Back to you.
Somebody's dead. We'll tell you after the message.
For those of our listeners who may not be familiar with Two Broke Girls or our fantastic guest, Jonathan Kite's work, here is a Best of Oleg video.
Hey, sexy woman. You look so pretty today. You look so beautiful, I forgot how bad your personality is.
I've said that to women at clubs.
Thanks, Oleg. Good.
Hey, Barbie. I thought your tight ass wasn't coming in tonight, and my heartbroken hands.
You know what, Oleg? I needed that.
There you go.
Awesome.
Good shit.
For a second there, I thought you said, I fucked your tight ass. And I was like, did anybody else not hear? I mean, but what did you said, I thought.
Yeah. I'm able to slip stuff past the censors. Yeah. That's kind of a trick of mine.
Yeah,
I'm like a Jedi.
Accent.
These are not the swears you
Can
were looking
you imagine?
For.
You know, so funny. So how, you know, let's briefly touch on this. How do you get a part on a major sitcom?
It's a, you know what? This is actually, as opposed to every other story I'll tell this hour, this is a good story. I went to, I know the casting director for a little while who I'd worked with several times, and she, just is an amazing person, a good friend of mine. And I was coming in for something else, and I asked her, I'm like, what else are you working on right now? I was the last one of the day. So, you know, if you know the casting, you could, like, hang out for a while when I clean up and stuff. It's fun. And I really wanted to catch up with her. And she's like, I'm actually really excited. I'm doing a new pilot that's being produced by Michael Patrick King and Whitney Cummings.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been a fan of both those. I love The Roasts and Sex and the City, super successful show. And, you know, it's like – it was really interesting to me, and I said, well, you know, neither of those people that I had known had done network television before. So I was like, oh, I'd love to bring me in sometime if it's possible.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, there's no part for a white male except a 45-year-old bald Russian guy. And at the time,
it's so funny how the things change.
Right.
Yeah.
They never really know what they want. They have like an idea.
And Michael said that to me later. He's like, you know, because the breakdowns, you have to put something down.
Yeah, of course.
So it's like,
come in.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And so they have actual actors in mind. They're like, oh, let's base it off of this person, like this person, but then that person isn't available. Or
we want Michael Chiklis, but he's not there.
I do a killer Chiklis impression. That's the ruining you. Spoiler alert, you spoil the story. No, but what happened? So I went in there and I started growing my hair out and my beard out because I thought, I've got to give myself some sort of advantage, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And because, you know, when you audition for a pilot or something, a lot of decisions have to be made. It's like it's a month, you know what I mean, or two before. So I kept getting called back, and I came in similarly to the way that I'm dressed on the show. I wore that to the audition. And so I came in with like a hairnet and the whole deal.
Awesome.
And was just like, I was just having fun with it. And at the end of the day, it came down between me and another guy who was absolutely the polar opposite of me. I mean, I think he was like in his late 40s, early 50s.
Good looking.
Great looking. tons of chicks. 7 foot dong.
Wow.
Yeah, trust me. That's why he wasn't cast. We couldn't afford to CGI for the pilot before we knew it would go. Like it said, his apron just doesn't sit right.
Hey, man.
There you go.
It looks like he's hiding like a ghost costume under there that the children used to wear. Just like a white kind of thing with holes in it so the snake down there can breathe.
It's another character.
It's another, They're like, we're not paying both of you.
Is the cock sag approved yet?
Oh, it's sagging. Thank God it's an after show. But I just mean it's it was funny. So I went in there and this guy was really interesting. He was a Brit who lived in Canada, who had played Russian on 24 for like 3 years.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow.
And we just looked really different. Like, he reminded me of like a Vinnie Jones type. And he was a real tough guy, sweetest guy in the world. And so it was very, in a weird way, it was cool because we got to be very friendly with one another because we knew that we weren't competing against each other at all.
It's just going to be a preference.
That's what they said. We're like, it's either going to be you or it's going to be me, but it's not going to be like, oh, I was, you know, they just wanted that type or whatever. So it was, in the end, it kind of won out. It was really cool.
I think it kind of worked works too. I mean, I don't know how you said he was in his 40s?
Late 40s.
Yeah, so I mean, but it, for me, it's like you watch a.
Is there a call in, by the way? Do people call in here?
We can.
No, I'm saying he's going to call. He's like, listen, I'm 32. Giving things right. He's like, all right.
I'll kill you.
I'm actually Japanese, not even British, so you're really off with your fucking foreign.
He's just here to criticize me.
I'm glad.
I watched the show. You're no good. You're rubbish.
I'm glad that you have that to where you were able to look at the other guy and be like, well, if I don't get it, they just thought that that look was going to be better. Because when I go out on an audition, it's fucking 12 midgets, and it's hard not to take it personal when you don't get it. Well, he wasn't looking for this type of midget. He was looking for this one.
Yeah, well, that's the only other option. Because I is a tall, for you know, for those of you who don't know me, I my body looks like it's made of taffy. I'm like a tall, thin, lanky guy.
A great looking.
And I always lose out to like heavyset black guys. Like it's always
real?
No, I mean like if I don't get the job, which I of course book all the time. But I just mean like if it's always like tall, thin, like shaggy guys from Scooby-Doo and then like Thad Albert types. And it's like it's funny cuz that's kind of like a sidekicky looking type of thing.
Yeah, there you go.
Wise. And then every now and then we get like me and one of those guys will have a baby and that baby is Mike Epps. You know, but you're right. Like, I understand that. It's funny when I'll go in for something and like if they're doing another casting and it's for little people, it's like you gotta look. You gotta be like, damn it, man.
Right.
Marty always gets it.
Fucking Marty.
Fucking Marty.
You know Marty.
I do know Marty. I've cast him a couple times.
God damn Marty.
He's talented.
But it makes sense that
Marty. Okay, for those of you, Marty is the bald midget from Pirates of the Caribbean who gets fucking everything.
Is he like the go-to?
He gets everything.
He gets a lot of shit. He gets a lot of stuff.
We hate Marty.
Is he like the new age Peter Dinklage?
Well, no, he was Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage is about to call in. Yeah. I'm the new age Peter Dinklage.
You know what? I don't know if that's a good Peter Dinklage impression or
I'm going to go with it. You know how like there's some guys like Adam does impressions, I do impressions, where somebody you'll do the impression or somebody will do it, and you're like, yeah, I guess I don't know what that guy sounds like.
Yeah.
Like I'll do ones on the road, and it's funny, like, you know, we were talking before about, like, you know, how do you decide to do them? I do ones that are spot on, and I feel like people are just, I don't know what he sounds like, so I'll just give it to you.
Yeah.
And you're
no,
this sounds like this.
Yeah.
But they don't know.
You'll start doing like this is Gene Hackman. And they go,
oh, yeah.
From The Conversation.
Yeah.
It's a very specific impression.
Yeah. Is there an impression that you, because you're saying, like, the ones you do are pretty mainstream. Right, like Seth Rogen, Vince Vaughn. What would you say would be like your top?
I do like Liam Neeson, Vince Vaughn, Seth Rogen, Tom Hanks.
The Tom Hanks one blows my mind
because
that voice to me is so incredibly original. And
see, Tom Hanks is one of those guys where if you said, I do an impression of Tom Hanks, I'd be like, how could you do an impression of
that's
Tom
how
Hanks?
I choose him, to be totally honest with you.
He's also that high up on a pedestal that you're like, why would you try to impersonate the greatest actor of all time?
I only do three impressions. Jesus Christ, Tom Hanks, and God.
Who is actually Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
Trick question.
I do, as a white guy, I do three impressions. I do Martin Luther King Jr. I do George Washington
and Tom Hanks. What's your Martin Luther King Jr.?
I have a dream.
See, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Not good. No.
All these men and people.
I feel like this
all the white people.
I think he always sounds like he's on a microphone, even if he's not on a microphone, talking to
microphones were bad
people.
Back then.
They were.
They didn't give – that was the real segregation. They didn't give them the good microphones.
Yeah.
They gave them the black microphones?
The black ones. Yeah.
That ever creed and colored sun put a Quiznos outside the laundromat.
And what people don't know is Martin Luther King actually talked like this. This was his actual voice.
Did he really?
But then he talked into that damn black microphone, and it morphed his voice into something a little more like this.
This Friday, Brian Gumbel is Martin Luther King.
That's amazing. It wouldn't come out on a Monday. That's Martin Luther King Jr. Day. How dare you? We're off that day.
This movie's coming out on Tuesday.
The biggest Tuesday opening ever.
Wait, how do you even start to do a Tom Hanks? Like, how do you?
I looked at people who that, because the truth was at the time I had done a sketch show with Mr. James Fox and
Jamie Fox, Django Unchained, and Oscar-winning actor,
the king
of
sketch.
Not to drop names.
Yeah, only a part of the greatest sketch show of all time, in my opinion.
The best.
Right?
I mean, and Living Color is like quick. I went as Fire Marshal Bill for Halloween one year.
Oh my god!
To a skating party.
Oh
at
my
an ice skating
god.
Rink, and I was a little burn victim on skates, and I had a bald cap.
You were walking around.
Yeah, and I was like. And I was skating around as a fireman, and then the people, like kids, would look at me and be like, oh, like you're a fire chief. What happened to your face? Like they would see me from a distance, and then I would, and I glued, I took little cotton balls and I dirtied them off.
Was this a costume party, or were you just doing this for fun?
Yeah, no, this was Thanksgiving. No, it was Halloween 1 year. And I went because I loved that show so much. And
oh my
it was
God.
Like, if I got to watch one show,
yes,
you know, like my parents, they tried to, you know, get us off TV pretty early. That was always one I chose. I've seen everything.
I still stand by, like, you know, the early SNL, like John Belushi, my dad showed me. So I feel like that got me into SNL. And then like Eddie Murphy, Delirious, just as far as comedy, like before I really like understood like what was funny. And then seeing A Living Color was the first thing that I remember being like, hooked into something and being like, right. I have to watch
Absolutely.
This all the time. And every sketch was like blew my mind and was different. And the characters, and I was like, wow, these people, because you'd see them before or after, and you're like, wow, they're just people. But seeing them on the show and play like 19 different characters.
And my parents
right,
loved it too.
You?
That was the other crazy thing. It
yeah,
did.
Because they watched with
you. Because it wasn't yeah. too edgy.
Bonding.
To like the way SNL
it was
is
smart.
Now,
it's...
the way they play on, you know, and things are all fucking sex jokes and things now, it's like that wasn't – Living Color wasn't
– And Living Color, I felt like we had never seen a sketch show like that before, and I feel like they got so many – I feel like those kids had been saving up their ideas
yeah, dude.
Forever. And like I remember like Homeboy Shopping Network
oh
and Men
God.
On Film, and it was just – it was so
– Vera DeMilo
is so effing funny. I tried to tell somebody about that the other day.
That
I was laughing. Yeah, I was laughing telling it, being like what an amazing idea that he was. And he would eat the Tums like they were steroids.
Yeah. That voice.
That voice. A...
Here, we have a clip of some Fire Marshal Bill.
What you see in here is a potential hazard. Let me show you something. Let's just say you're changing the water in this here fish tank.
Every bit always had it. Let's
and
just
you accidentally
set, like, the...
fill it with gasoline, like so. Later that night, the janitor comes in. There's a power outage. He lights himself a match and... Oh, he's cooking fish sticks! Now, here's another all-too-common danger in the classroom.
All-too-common.
The movie projector. Sure, looks like fun, but it can be very, very deadly. Now, let's just say you're the audiovisual helper for the day. You go to plug this baby in, and you just happen to be soaking your bunions in a bucket of water.
Yeah, I mean, that was...
There you go.
You can't get away with that stuff today. They had a character called Handyman.
Yeah.
That was mentally handicapped.
It was Damon Wayans' head, and he was...
No, that was the head detective, and that was...
Head detective?
That was Keenan Ivory. Yeah, but I'm just, like, you know, good or bad, you know, stuff worked, stuff didn't, but they took so
they
many risks.
Yeah,
they sold it.
For it.
And I feel like when stuff didn't work, even like, you know, I still thought, I'm like, this is working. Like, this is funny.
Now, what do you think contributed to all the risks? Like now, because of social media and just all the blogs, there's way too many opportunities for voices that shouldn't matter to post a blog and somebody to cite some random blog and go, this person said they were offended
right.
by this sketch. And then all of a sudden...
From moms against midgets
from
playing triangles in orchestras.
Yeah, yeah.
Wrote a letter.
There are more groups out there than there are groups to bitch about.
Yeah, and then but some legitimate news either station or like if the Today Show goes, this blog said this, then all of a sudden it's legitimized.
I think part of it is that we... back then, you know, it's like Fox was such a fledgling network, and it actually, I believe it won the Emmy for best its first year, the same way that SNL did in 75. I don't think people were paying attention as much. You know, like Chappelle's Show, in a weird way, like later was kind of like that, where I remember, you know, some people were talking about Chappelle's Show, even though Dave was obviously wildly successful and talented at stand-up. And then it kind of crept in, the snowball, the avalanche that was that
like,
show's
holy
legend.
Shit,
yeah.
This is what's going on.
Yeah, and I think that it kind of went under people's radars for so long, because I think there was a huge demographic of the population that just had no idea that it was even on television.
Totally. So what you said, Jamie Foxx.
So when I got the opportunity to audition for his show, and I again big fan, I took it upon myself to learn all the white people he'd done movies with, because I had this fantastic idea,
idea
that, like, you know, they wanted you to come in and pitch your own stuff, that I would pitch with him being him. a sequel to every movie he'd ever done.
Great idea.
Not needing a sequel, right. Like the way that, spoiler alert, like at the end of you know, Collateral, how Tom Cruise doesn't make it to the sequel, but somehow he's in the sequel.
Now let me ask you this: what's your Tom Cruise?
It was his twin brother.
The Tom Cruise that I did on the show Human Giant once was just the Tom Cruise that I saw, because his voice to me is unbelievably, I just can't match it. So my Tom Cruise was what Ben Stiller did on that VMA thing, which was the high, like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what's cool? When you have someone like him, and we were talking about colleges earlier, because like doing people for colleges, you got to do somebody in the now.
Yeah.
And he, like, people who have that long of a career, they have a different voice. Like, he does. Right. He was different. I actually don't do. Yeah, it changes a lot. Like, I don't do young Tom Cruise. I do, like, the Tom Cruise who's, you know, he's trying to give you, you know, medical advice.
Yeah.
You know, when he's on with Matt Lauer.
Do you know, yeah.
Yeah, the, do you know
the side effects of
Ritalin? Yeah. Are you aware of the side effects of Ritalin?
Yeah, really intense, you know, and in your face.
But,
really?
Tom, psychiatry is a proven science, Tom. What are you talking about?
I don't know. I don't know.
Meredith. Now, what was her name? Kirstie Alley. Who was the woman that he was getting?
Brooke Shields.
Brooke Shields.
Was it Brooke Shields?
Yeah. She needed these meds, Tom, get over.
You're glib.
Well, don't you call me glib on national TV.
Glib.
She needed those.
There's
meds.
There's such a certainty in his voice. You know what I mean?
And it's almost like, and using words that, like, to call you out and almost like insult you in ways, like the same way a parent would be like, I'm not going to yell at you, but I'm very disappointed. Yeah, like, I'm Tom's not, like, look, you're not a fucking idiot. I'm not going to call you a fucking idiot, but you're wrong, and here's why. You're
not
glib.
A fucking idiot, but you are a fucking idiot.
He's basically, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, he,
I remember, using words like, you're glib is like almost worse.
You're, and then it's disappointing. It's like, it's how, he can't believe how glib you are.
Yeah.
So he's like, you're glib.
Yeah, dude. And no one's ever used glib as an insult before. Yeah.
No.
But when he says it, you're like, holy shit, I'm glib.
Ben Glebe tried to, when he tried to make Ben Glebe glib, like an insult.
Right.
And then he went up to him and goes, wait a minute, you're glib. You're glib.
You're Ben Glebe.
You are Ben Glebe. You know, but it's something, it's like that one, it's, I don't tend to work on ones that have been done a lot because I think that the mileage on them is when you go on stage, like I worked on a Matthew McConaughey for a while, and I just remember, and I see a lot of stand-ups, but I don't necessarily go, I haven't seen a lot of impressionists who are stand-ups, but it's like, I've heard a friend of mine's like, okay, if you do Matthew McConaughey, just make sure you don't talk about him taking off his shirt.
Yes.
Because apparently, and I've never seen someone do stand-up as Matthew McConaughey, that's all they talk about.
Yeah. I forget the name of the comic, but he always ends his impression of Matthew McConaughey with, I'm just going to take my shirt off. Oh,
there's even actually, Brad, who can't do impressions, just did a great
McConaughey. Please tell me you're the comic who does it. You're just so cocky about it.
No, it's actually Matt Damon.
Yeah. All right.
Matt Damon on the... Okay.
By way of setting this
here you
up,
go.
I mean, you first noticed he was...
Here's Matthew McConaughey on David Letterman. Or Matt Damon.
I don't know, man. But what I would say was, I would go into the morning, you know, every morning on the set of Ocean's 13 and to Steven Soderbergh, and I'd say... Mr. Soderbergh, today's scene, I think, would be a good opportunity for me to take my shirt off.
So it's Matt. Now when Matt Damon is doing it on Letterman, you can't be, as a comic on stage, going, this is something original I thought of.
Yeah. I mean, it's a funny – I had a take on it that I'm trying to work to see if there's a way – to like, because Magic Mike came out, and so he was like shirtless the whole film.
Yeah,
so I've been told. I didn't see it.
So what would you? So what's? So you do do a Mike?
Well, I was trying to think of an idea of I feel like Matthew McConaughey is not capitalizing. Like, how has he not auditioned for the Hulk?
Yeah,
where, you know, like, that guy never has his shirt on. You know, he's like, yeah, I'm angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. But he's not angry. Or like the way that there's all those werewolf movies that are coming out.
Yeah,
I'm like, how has he not played that? Where I'm like, why doesn't that guy have a shirt on? He goes, just in case I turn into a werewolf. I don't want to ruin this shirt's Gucci. Yeah. It's Gucci.
You know what I love about Matthew McConaughey is, like, you know, all these celebrities are doing, and especially because you and I do a bunch of voiceover, and I pay so much attention now to the big celebrities that do these big campaigns, because a handful of them you get to go out for, and then you get beat out by them, and part of me is just like, fuck you, Clooney. Do you really need Bud Light money?
Right.
But then
Samuel L. Jackson's like, I'm gonna feel like selling a motherfucking Pontiac.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
But just do it exactly like that, Sam. Just no motherfucker.
But like, who?
You need a motherfucking Pontiac in your motherfucking garage.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, all right, shit, that's all the take we're gonna do.
But they do. But then the recognition of people hearing those voices helps for the product, because even on the radio, McConaughey does the beef, And dude, the setup with the music and him doing it, I was sitting there, I was like, dude, this is fucking, that voice makes sense. Because he's like, you know, when you're sitting on your back patio and you're having some brewskis and you're chilling out, beef is a great, you know, whatever. He was just talking about beef, and I was listening to him, I was like, well, this voice with beef makes total sense.
Right. It's well, I have my bit, it honestly, God, sounds like you're setting me up for the bit. I try to come up with a Jeff Bridges thing, because I'm like, Jeff Bridges is doing Hyundai Sonata.
I mean, hey, man, I was in Tron, man. I was in, you know, I was in the new one, brother. I was also in I was in Lebowski, man.
like an idea like that where I'm like, he's selling like the welcome back to the Hyundai Sonata. But it's like, the Hyundai Sonata is a reliable car.
Yeah.
Like, everybody knows he was the dude who, like, gets behind a car who's drunk and high.
Yeah.
Well, aim it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you see a fucking ring on my finger, Johnny? I mean, come on, man.
It's got a coaster for your beverage.
You got a coaster for your beverage, man. Think of White Russian.
Dude, so you were trying to think of white guys to come up with,
and then I thought, who was the most famous white guy? And I thought, like, you never hear Tom Hanks. And the thing is, he's relevant, because the great thing about learning a Tom Cruise is, like, even if he doesn't have a movie, like, this year, he'll have Reacher the next year. Or he did MI5.
MI5.
Or 4, whatever. Yeah, 4. And then it was like...
if you do enough movies, I feel like you're setting yourself up for sequels if your career's going down the shitter. The same way, like... you know, B-list stars will get on reality shows. I feel like, yeah, Tom Hanks, the same way. He could go back and do Polar Express 2, 3, and 4 if he really takes a nosedive. Or Forrest Gump 4 through 7.
Well, there was a sequel. Yeah. There was Gump and Company. I'm serious, where it's about him and his son, and that, like, could be done at
I'm
any
so
point.
I'm so glad that didn't happen, though.
Really? Because I'm actually here to kickstart a deal. Uh-oh. Call in
Uh-oh.
To...
wait a sec.
Hi, I'm Tom Hanks. Come on, guys. Gump and Company! Gump and Company!
That's Tom Hanks.
Wow. That is some incredible. Welcome back to Is That Jonathan Kite or Tom Hanks Laughing Hysterically?
It's a short game show that somehow made into 5 seasons. I don't know how we parlayed that.
That's so good, though, dude. I mean, that's... because that voice, just, I mean, so, and obviously, and I noticed you do this too, and I'll do this for impressions, where you, and I feel like you almost have to, like, transform your face a little bit.
You do.
You're something in your, it's not, you know, to really, because you're seeing the person as you try to do it, right? So, like, yeah. What do you do for Hanks?
Well, I tried to do, I watched him, so the funny thing is like, I'll watch a movie or a clip. And there was actually a clip where he did a Saturday Night Live hosting thing, where he's like, you know, hi, I'm Tom Hanks, and I'm hosting SNL. And for whatever reason, like, watching that and watching Castaway, like, the melding – because I will have watched somebody's movies, like, all the time, and I'll be like, I can't get it. And then one day – because I tried Hanks for a while, and then, like, one day I heard him do, like, hi, I'm Tom Hanks, and I'm hosting SNL. And, like, I could hear it in that moment.
Yeah.
But for me, it clipped – you know, that's when it clicked in. But before – and then I would watch the scene in the beginning when he's just, like, about to leave on the plane. And he's just,
Castaway,
like –
right?
Yeah, Castaway. And he's, like, giving them all – you know, kind of like, blah, 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 blah. And that's how I was able to learn it.
It's also funny that you're doing the, like, energetic, loud, like, that's the part of Hanks that people, that you associate, you like, I can hear that. Because Matthew McConaughey,
energy.
Everyone does the low energy. Nobody does that. Matthew, nobody does the yelling.
Yeah, out of breath. Because he's always out of breath. Like, he'll get there, but he's in great shape. Yeah. I don't know why he's out of breath.
Same with, like, Mark Wahlberg, right?
People that's my bit on Mark Wahlberg. I go, why is Mark Wahlberg always out of breath? And he gets into a room, he's like... What's up, dude?
Dude, you all right, Mark? Mark, what's up?
I said, I'm like, you look like you just ran into the scene. I'm like, you were sitting there eating a bagel, drinking a beer. I'm like, you didn't. How did you get in?
They're like, Mark, you don't need to be out of breath for this.
I do a whole bit. Like, it's funny. And the funny thing about Hanks is I used to do him, because I could do Hanks as Woody from Toy Story. I can do him from a ton of different ways. Mm. But the one that got the most audience response was the yell. So I used to do... Yeah. Like, I used to do him as Woody. And people would always – you could hear them, like, clapping or being like, oh, yeah. But when they wouldn't laugh until they saw him flip off the handle.
Totally.
Well, that's actually a good time to take a break. We're going to take a quick break, pay some bills. We'll be right back.
Can you take us to break with Seth Rogen?
We're going to break right now. I don't know if I'm going to remember to come back because I am so stoned.
That is our guest, Jonathan Kite. The show, Two Broke Girls, Mondays, 9/8 Central. Or 8/9 Central? 9/8 Central. It's on Mondays on CBS.
Is 8/9 Central an option?
I don't know. 8/9 Central.
What a time machine it is.
This is Brad's first day out of the house.
It sure is. We'll be right back with more about Last Night's Show.
You're listening to the GoCast Network.
Are you tired about how our government is run? Do you want a better life for you and your family? Isn't it time for America to return to the greatness it once was? Are you ready to bring America back to the people? Well, there's a new social media website that allows all of America's voices to be heard. Votepedia, which stands for Voice of the Electorate, is a nonpartisan geopolitical social network. Votepedia is on a mission to create a nationally accepted nonpartisan social network for debate, discussion, and opinions of every American. Using 21st century technology, Votepedia is striving to return the government to the way our forefathers envisioned America, of the people, by the people, for the people. Votepedia is the new voice and platform for all Americans. To register and have your voice be heard, go to www.votepedia.com. That's votepedia.com. If you're tired of the same old story from Washington and want to do something about it, go to votepedia.com. Votepedia, for the people, by the people.
Before you hit fast forward, listen to this.
It's the big hot rockin', nonstop, and less talkin', boss shockin', head knockin', finger poppin', yankin', crankin', hiney spankin', wham bam, thank you ma'am, 50,000 watt blowtorch of rock and roll! That is the Dick and Darren Show.
Dick and Darren downloaded 185 episodes. It's pretty good for you. You'll like it. Up in your ear hole.
On the GoCast Network.
We're back on the GoCast Network.
And we're back. Think about Last Night's Show. Our guest, Jonathan Kite.
Now, Seth, what were you telling me about the type of porn you watch?
I can't remember. It was when a guy like fucks a bag of weed.
Dude, that's unbelievable.
Well, before we get back to information with Jonathan Kite from Two Broke Girls, he plays Oleg. He gets paid to make creepy comments towards Kat Dennings. I'm jealous of you, sir.
Well, thank you.
You're living the dream right now, man, because you're on a hit show, and you're now getting to travel a lot and do stand-up, which you've been doing. And it's nice to take a break from the show, I'm assuming, to actually get out and now...
Yeah, it's awesome because, you know, we don't... it's such a different rhythm, but I love... I haven't done stand-up. I really started up in, like, June.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where...
Because you were like an improv actor, right?
Yeah, improv sketch. And sketch and stuff like that. But I had learned all these impressions from before... And, you know, I was friends, obviously, with you and, like, a ton of other stand-ups. And then it was cool to, like, show up to the clubs, and then I already knew all you guys there from, like, acting and hanging.
You felt comfy and shit.
Yeah, it was really nice. Like, it was very welcoming community
to me. You
didn't
feel like an outsider.
You were more or less starting fresh with that. So it's like if you can have something to make you be like, all right, I'm a little new to this, but, like, the familiarity of people around you makes you be like, all right, it's not as...
Yeah, it just felt like hanging out.
Yeah. Now, cool. And so you're starting to do a lot of colleges, which is awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing Iowa State the first Friday in March.
Fuck yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm excited. I haven't, colleges are, they always say that it's like a crapshoot.
Yeah,
because they put you in a theater that was like meant as like a, you know, like a hurricane like sanctuary for the entire university.
Yeah.
And then like 17 people show up because they think Weezer was playing.
Right.
And you have to like do their songs.
You either have that or I've done a bunch of colleges where they put you in the cafeteria where they're like, this is a good place for stand-up comedy.
Yeah, our theater was rented out to the improv troupe. They're the ones who draw, so.
They're really good. My favorite horror story of a college gig that I ever did was middle of the day. Middle of the day, outdoors in the middle of the quad. And they set up a little ranky-dank stage and said, yeah, just start doing comedy as people are walking by. They'll stop.
That's like a circus shit.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not fucking Venice Beach street performer.
You're like
performer
a sample guy at Costco. Just like if people walk by, give them something if they want it. Sure. Like, just throw. Hey, where are you going? What's the difference between? Dude, fucking stop talking to me. I'm trying to get to class.
Somebody comes up. You're like, finally. He's like, listen, I'm looking for the quad. You're like, you're on it. Yeah, oh, cool, dude. Thanks. Man.
Do you know where Henderson's physics class is? I'm so fucking late.
You're like, I do. Know. It's over there, and you are late.
Yeah.
And one thing I don't know if you're dealing with this yet, but obviously, like, the more you get into stand-up and the more you develop a following, people start to maybe take a little bit of their anger out on you, which Brad had to deal with. Was it this weekend?
Oh, yeah.
I know this morning.
I can't believe, by the way, you started with, I got a death threat, and we just go, yeah,
whatever.
On, so, John.
Seth Rogen impressions.
So you're on TV.
it happens. Today, I woke up, and apparently last night, Chris Brown got into a fight with Frank Ocean.
Yeah. Jesus, again?
Yeah.
I know who Frank Ocean is, but mm-hmm. immediately when I'm thinking about Ocean and I'm thinking about music I like to put my ear up to, I think of Billy Ocean. Some people can give me shit. Some people can pull up a little Caribbean Queen to play after Brad's story, or maybe to assist with the
during. It's a soundtrack of life.
Billy Ocean, that goes with everything.
Yo, my dad, he might have cheated on my mom, but he introduced me to Billy Ocean, and for that, I forgive him.
It's a wash.
Go ahead.
All right, so I wake up and this fight happens. So I check Twitter every morning, as I do, and I see what's trending. See if I can write a joke. And I see Chris Brown's name is trending. And I get really excited because I'm like, holy shit, he died. Whoa, fuck yeah.
Whoa.
I'm all excited.
Wow.
And then
isn't that your job?
Isn't that depressing Dick's job?
First of all, that tweet would never go over well.
Well,
fuck yeah,
here's the thing. So I click on him, find out he got into this fight, and he didn't die. So I tweet, I'm excited when I see Chris Brown's name trending on Twitter. Then I'm sad when I realize it's not because he died. # Twitter blue balls.
Brad, by the way, is super topical with his tweets. Like, he gets, you know, and like, you test out jokes a lot with that shit.
Yeah,
too.
And like, I wake up, read the news, and try
to. Okay,
so that happens.
You basically just tell the world, I'm sad that Chris Brown is still alive.
Yeah. Which I am. In
sure.
All seriousness.
Yeah, dude, he fucking beat a woman, and nobody makes a big deal out of it.
So he's gone. So I do that, and then it just it blows up, and I get several death threats from his fans. Just like, I'm gonna find you, I'm gonna kill you.
Wow.
I'm gonna, like,
maybe they're from Chris. He's disguised as all these other people.
Oh yeah, dude. Why
he
not?
Might. He's that crazy. So I had to respond by saying, I received death threats because of my last tweet. Chris Brown's fans, please leave the abuse of physically weaker people to your leader. And that got even more. So
also, you need to tell them that if they kill a midget, it's 7 years bad luck.
It really is. You know, break a mirror, kill a midget.
Yeah, you're running in the same boat. Yeah. Also, yeah, you.
you really don't want that on your resume.
If you kill a midget, there won't be Christmas this year. It's one of those things.
I'm pretty sure that's the first question of a job interview. Like, hey, welcome to McDonald's. We want you here. We've heard a lot about you from Burger King. We're glad we were able to steal you away.
Somebody's jumping ship.
Yeah, I was going to say. That's what we like to call fast food poaching.
You think it happens like the same way it does in Hollywood? Like, you know, you see, like, you know, Jim Carrey left CAA for William Morris. Like, dude, you're fucking Donnie. Like, dude, they made him like fucking like make like 20 Whoppers in 5 minutes. And he couldn't handle it. So he's like, dude, I want to go to a place where the burgers are pre-wrapped.
A guy who's been sitting the whole time, it just swivels around and he goes, I've been watching you for quite a while. I like the way you work.
I saw the way you dipped those Frosties. How'd you know I worked at Wendy's? I know everything.
I've been watching.
I was only there for 2 weeks.
How'd he work at Wendy's? You turn around, he's gone. There's just a card.
A card and a name tag.
It just says, like, the Burger King.
The Burger King. He's like, says that, or like the card says like, ba-da-ba-ba-ba. And you're like, oh shit. That's the McDonald's
guy. And then he gives you like a disc you put into your laptop, and it's just fucking Mr. Claw from Inspector Gadget. And he's like,
it's a bad thing.
Welcome to McDonald's.
So McDonald's is the bad guy in this scenario.
Yeah.
Gadget. I'll get you next time, Burger. Next time.
Go, Gadget, drive through.
I love how we didn't have a problem with that. That guy was probably just a heavy smoker.
Dr. Claw? Yeah. Dr. Claw?
I feel like he was like,
I'll get you. Fucking menthols.
Dude, that's fucking.
I really got to switch to Virginia Slims.
Yeah.
Dude, Dr. Claw should be. You know how you see those like cigarette commercials? Have you ever seen the one where the woman basically shows her like pictures of her?
Oh yes,
and she's got the tracheotomy.
She has a wormhole in her
and she puts on the wig. Right. And she, have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen the wig one.
Do they show pictures of her? She's like super hot, younger, and she's like,
"When I back in, this was me back in the day. And when I was Miss South Carolina, dude, I banged all sorts of strange ass."
Yo, she was that attractive, and then she's like, "And now, thanks to smoking, this is what happened." She literally, you see her now. Face, she looks like fucking Skeletor. She puts a blonde wig on, a turtleneck to cover up her hole, puts a thing over it, and then goes, "This is what smoking did to me." And just stares at the camera for like 8 seconds, basically just being like, And you're sitting there like, holy fuck,
That commercial is like the movie The Ring. Anybody who sees that, it's like, that's going to turn into you. You have to show someone else the video. You just did it. You passed it on to us.
But Damn it.
We're passing on to the listeners, though.
All right, podcast listeners. Now it's on you.
Get it out.
But I feel like Dr. Claw should do like one of those smoking, like...
It's him in his youth, and he's just like, hey, how's everybody doing today? And then he's like, and now... Thanks to this. How is that cat not dead with all that secondhand smoke? Yeah. He goes
also,
through
his
cats.
Claws. I mean,
that he's like rubbing
scraping,
the fur off
right.
of it. It looks like a hairless by the
season
end of every
one
episode.
Through three, he had a full shed of skin, and then by season eight, he was just fucking.
It's just a bloody clump. the cat replacement budget on Claw. I mean, on Inspector Gadget. It bankrupted the show.
Yeah, Gadget's like, hey, you think I can get some new finger blasters? And they're like, dude, we gotta buy more cats. Like, are you aware?
Just go down to the shelter.
Claw's
they're
killed.
Like, oh, thank God, everybody's like taking care of these felines.
Taking care. They're being murdered. On
they
national
don't know,
television.
They don't
realize,
know.
Dr. Claw had a metal fucking hand with a gold spike bracelet like he's some sort of 70s pimp ready to backhand a hoe, and now he just...
Dude, he petted a different kind of pussy.
He ripped that pussy up. Dr. Claw ripped that pussy up.
Yo, man, he tore that pussy
up. Little did Bob Barker know when he was like, get your pet spayed or neutered. He also, they cut him off, and he was like, hey, and Dr. Claw, stop ripping up pussy, man.
It was him. Yeah. Or he's like, I'll get that pussy next time.
He's sitting there watching Price is Right, but like, oh, fucking.
They never showed him, right? I don't think that they ever showed
his face.
No.
Dude, think about the people in TV, and I know we're going all over the place here, but fucking
sure.
Wilson from Home Improvement.
Yeah.
Never saw his full face.
Never did.
Charlie from Charlie's Angels.
Never saw him.
True. Dr. Claw.
Dr. Claw from Gadget.
Wow. Manny Tail's girlfriend.
Who?
Manti Teo's girlfriend. Never saw her.
Dude,
there should
be a fucking, of all the great list of TV like characters, like that list should be somewhere, right?
They should. We have to do a reality show where they all live in a house.
The characters are finally in. No one sees them.
Never see them. They're all like testimonials, but it's like it could be a radio program because you never.
Wilson's just walking around with like a portable fence
with
in front of his face,
like a Bane Sarsgaard kind of thing.
Dude, the fucking guy from Scream. Well, I guess that's a movie though. So,
but no, but television, that'd be a really funny, like guys you just or women you
I feel like
never
that's a
saw.
Great, robot
okay,
chicken
so
things, right,
absolutely. Fuck, so, well, Jonathan, if Dr. Claw was giving a real world esque testimonial in the booth, how would that go?
My agent told me that I'd finally be able to put my face on television so that maybe my kids would respect me and show that I've made it. I really needed this for my reel.
And it just cuts. Every time they start complaining, it just cuts, goes to commercial. Oh,
now, what would it be like if, like, for instance, one of the most famous real world things was when there was a fight over, like, peanut butter or something. So, like, Puck got mad at another housemate for eating the peanut butter. Do Dr. Claw getting mad at another roommate for eating the peanut butter?
I won't kill you this time, but next time I'll get you for the peanut butter. Next time.
He was like such an empty threat guy.
What's this?
Inspector Gadget remix.
This must be like when something's up.
Yeah.
But he was like, you were never in danger of him because he was just like, next time. He was like the guy who always put shit off.
Yeah. Right.
He's like, are you going to kill Gadget? Next time. Yeah.
It's like, next time you drive in a car that can instantly convert into a fucking plane. Throw a missile at the dude and move on with your life.
That was also his way of extending the season, though. They're like, hey, man, this fucking all right, man. Let's wrap it up.
He's like, I've already paid for all these Laurel and Hardy goons.
I've got a mortgage I need to pay for. Guys, the mortgage crisis hit some of us a little harder than others.
I have all these cats. He's like a vet. I feel like he was a vet.
Dude, that's hilarious.
He like took in all these stray cats and had to pay for them.
He was like the creepy cat lady before we had creepy cat ladies.
Yo, speaking of just degenerate smoker voices, I got to tell a story quick. So I was at the Atlanta Improv this weekend.
Your first big headliner weekend, by the way, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, give it up for Adam Ray. Headlining Atlanta Improv, the ATL, motherfucker.
Incredible.
Peace up, ATL.
Yeah, great room. Sold out one of the shows, but I'm not
there
a drawer.
You go.
So that was not my doing. But the crowds are great. But I was telling you guys there's all these bars around the club. My first night there, I'm like, what's touristy? What should I go see? Everyone's like, oh, there's a There's like a puppet museum, and then everyone's like, you want to go see the Braves? I was like, where does Sid Bream live? Can I fucking just show up at his house?
Yeah.
And then everyone goes, there's a bar called the Claremont, which is like this little dive bar, and they go, there's a woman named Blondie who breaks beer cans with her tits, squishes beer cans with her tits. And
now
I'm like,
you know what you're doing after the show.
I'm like, well, clearly that's where we're going.
So where are we going to go after that?
So we go there, and Blondie's not there, and I was like, dude, it felt like...
What the fuck? Yeah,
all the hype. I felt like it was going to Disneyland, and Mickey had the day off, and
was like someone smashing shot glasses with their testicles, at least?
Well, dude,
they had a guy. They were like, well, Billy's in the back just, smashing like getting his nut smashed with a hammer. Goes, nah, it's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
I didn't hear about that, you know.
Oh, my God.
But, dude, they had the women. They were dancing on a small plank in between this little, like, dive bar, and they would dance, and then they would just, like, and these women, by the way, the hook of the bar, they're all pushing 60 to 70. Like, oh, I'd say God. You would what? Be so lucky like... if anyone was below 68 years old.
So it's called Golden Girls the Bar?
Yes. Nice. Dude, it's what the last season would have been if they all stuck around.
It's called the Gold Nugget because they discovered the first one. Gold Rush. So you went
Lance,
in there.
Stop doing body shots off my nipples.
Oh, dude, nipples. Well, one of them lit her nipples on fire, and then the other one would just look at you. At one point, I'm like, so what do they do? They're like, they dance. They offer you dances. At one point, one of them locks eyes with me, and she just gives like a, eh? And I was just kind of like, nah. And then she, as if that was enough for me to like let her know that, hey, no thank you, right? Politely, I made the face of like, oh, God. And to me, that was like, eh, not tonight.
Right.
She then takes it upon herself to pull up her like undergarments and show me her bare 70-year-old vagina. Now, I'm not saying don't show that to anybody because, hey, you're still rocking. You still there's people out there that might want to see that.
Literally, yeah. In a rocking chair, she's still rocking at that point.
Yeah. But she's standing on a bar doing that, and like, and I haven't been in this place yet, so I'm looking around. I'm like, does anybody else see that she's just like blatantly like looking – trying, like her eye contact wasn't enough, and then she was like, well, how can I up the ante on this? Eh? And then I went back to again.
I
no
wish
you'd
hit a gavel and just been like sold.
Oh God,
done. Well, yeah. So I mean, what we all want to know is, did you hit that? All right.
I have 7 new diseases. That
is one that of them, like
WebMD,
polio, because that's
WebMD
that's the only thing
no,
you can have.
WebMD has no no way to help me out with.
Oh, well, hey, we're getting close to that time.
Yo,
not quite there yet.
No, but John, I want to ask you, do you ever mistaken well, if you're like, you know, trying to say, hey, like, look me up for something. People go, hey, where can I
dude, this
find...
comes up all the time.
This
I swear
one?
To you. I swear to you.
Have you ever talked about it?
So, yeah, but...
All right, so this has been addressed already.
No, but I just mean like...
Because Brad and I were talking about, you know, the way... You forget that... Because we get this far into our shit and we're like, we're the only ones of our fucking... Like, and when people Google us, nothing else is going to come up. It's going to be our comedy shit. For a long time, there was a guy that died in Iraq named Adam Ray. And so, dude, that was like, I get Google alerts all the time. People were fucking posting on, you know, on my page, like, dude, fucking, I didn't even know you were overseas. Like,
all right.
Sorry
going
about
in,
that.
Going in between comedy?
Jonathan Kite comes up, and you get, this isn't the first thing, obviously. You come up first.
He's the energy healer?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. This has been around as long as the internet, because I have
well,
been
look
trying...
at this website, dude. It's
no,
just
it's
one picture.
Coming soon is what it says. Doesn't it say coming soon somewhere? Yeah.
Please
come again soon, I think, for updates or for what. I don't know what this guy's doing. He lives in England, and I approached him one time, and he wanted me to pay for the site.
Right.
But...
His bio is just a little too, like, you got to come up with a better way. Like, as a qualified teacher, he is keen to bring joy and maximize the learning experience for his students.
He gives hand jobs.
Yes. That's a fancy way of saying I will blow you for
you guys, this is a new show called The Web Interpreters.
Dude.
Perfect. We got to get to some celebrity serenades, my friend.
Oh, do we? Okay.
Because we haven't done celebrity serenades in a while, and we have.
Dick, you got some music for us?
All right. Maybe. Now I just have to go to the bathroom.
Well, now we need to... All right, let's do Travolta massaging a man, because I guess this is massage spa music. Can you find some, like, jazz, like...
Just like a jazz...
Do you do Travolta?
God, I mean, well, I
do...
I quit football to play Danny Zuko in Greece my sophomore year of high school, but... So my Travolta is like Vinnie Barbarino, yeah, like, hey, you know, man, like, man. Hey, yeah. And Sandy, you know, like... But not like a... I, like Travolta, not like... The way he talks, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
I do Ralph Garman doing John Travolta. So it's just like, what?
Here it is.
Where?
Yeah, yeah. What? Wait, you know what? Yeah.
Why?
But like Travolta now, he talks about his plan. I don't know. It's kind of,
yeah.
I don't
that's
know.
That's pretty good.
Broken air.
Broken Arrow.
There's a. He just says his films. I do that too.
Look at me. That's how you find it, though.
I'm fucking right with
you.
Dude,
when I did like my Robert Downey Jr., I was like, "Have you seen Iron Man? Iron Man 2? I was in Heart and Souls. Do you have any Coke, by
that's
the way?"
That's what I was doing.
Yeah,
I was
in their movies.
Yeah, yeah. I was working at Robert Downey Jr. He's like, "Yeah, baby. Here's the deal. I was in Iron Man 3, new one coming out, and it's great. It's good. It's
DVD
good.
Or Blu-ray. You can get a red box at a Hollywood Video. Are they still around? Fuck it. I don't know. Do you have any Coke?"
Yeah. I was like, he's never been on drugs. People think he was on drugs before. I'm like, it seems like he's on drugs now in those interviews because he's right. Like, so all the time.
He's all clean and incredible now. And yeah, he just referenced. All right. So, who have we? All right.
He hasn't been Vince Vaughn yet.
All right, we'll do Celebrity Serenades with Vince Vaughn.
We'll
close it out with this, yeah?
Okay, so for our listeners that are maybe new to the show, Celebrity Serenades is when we have a talented impressionist like Jonathan Inn, who's going to do an impression of a celebrity at a bar picking up a woman.
Yeah, past celebrities include Dustin Hoffman, Splinter. I did Splinter.
Jay Leno.
When we had Sean Astin on, I think didn't we do he because he's Raphael in the animated Ninja Turtles. So we did Splinter. And
oh, cool.
Sandy Dancer did Pauly, and Sandy Dancer did Pauly harassing Sean Astin for not putting him in Lord of the Rings.
Oh my God, that's hysterical.
So long, Creed. So here's the deal. I'll play the bartender, Adam.
The chick.
You play the hot woman. And Jonathan, you're going to do Vince Vaughn. Is that okay?
Yep.
All right. He's going to do Vince Vaughn at a bar picking up a hot woman.
No, I know, Chrissy. Just come over.
Excuse me, miss.
What's that?
I hate to interrupt
you. I'm on the phone. Do you fucking see that I'm on the phone now?
I know you're on the phone.
Yeah,
but
I'm having a really important call. My friend just fucking got dumped by her boyfriend, okay?
Well, yeah, but then you
Do you know Manti Te'o?
I'm aware. You might want to check ESPN. But
what is that, like a fucking web? Is that a website?
Sure. What I'm saying is I'm just trying to maybe give some good news to you because this gentleman over here just bought you a drink.
Oh, well, I love free booze. Yeah. What? Hello.
Hi. Is anybody sitting here?
No.
Can I sit down, baby?
Oh, my God, please, yeah.
Can I call you baby, baby?
Yeah, what?
What's your name, baby?
Christine.
Christine, you ever seen the movie Fred Claus?
Yes.
Well, there you go. That's that usually works.
A lot of guys hit on me, so what's going to make you different from those guys?
Baby, hang up the phone right now, because I think you're being rude to your friend. You know what I'm saying? If she wants to come out and like, have a threesome and shit like that, I'm totally down. You know what I'm saying right now? I mean, I'm down, not like the comforter, but I'm saying I'm down with you, baby. You get it right here. You know what I'm saying? Hang up the phone, baby. Down that shot. I got a car waiting for us outside. I'm going to take an adventure, baby. I got a bed in the back of the car. I'm saying I got a driver, because I'm kind of out there and shit like that. The driver is the guy, not from Drive, but I know Ryan Gosling. We can meet up with him later. I'm just saying, I feel you, right here. I'm pointing to my heart because it's a radio show. You can't really see this shit, right now. But I'm pointing to the heart and your heart, not your tits. I like your tits. I'm pointing to them. I'm trying to point the thing behind them. The heart behind the tits. I got titties too, baby. I'm saying we all got titties because they were kind of from the same, you get it, from the same point. The old days, the Bible and shit like that. You get it, baby. Hang up the phone. Do that shot. We're going to get back there. We got some partying to do, baby.
Oh, my God. Now I remember. Oh, my God. You're Paul Giamatti. From Fred Claus.
Yes. I rip off the mask. Well. Well.
Are you coming?
Dude, do you want to? We're going to have some Merlot, Paul.
I am not drinking Merlot. I am not.
Dude, Vince Vaughn turning into Paul Giamatti in anything would be. Dude, the heart behind the tits is great.
I think the heart behind the tits is
I'm interested
the
not
next
in your
Jackie
tits.
Collins novel.
The heart behind the tits. That's a romantic comedy that the Vince is in.
Just that line though, and that's so ridiculous, but delivered with the sincerity of Vince. That's so such a Bible. I'm not interested in you. I'm interested in the heart. The tits. I love your tits, but I want the heart behind.
I'm talking
the tits.
The heart behind the tits.
This and summer, the heart, as if there's
Jessica Biel and Vince Vaughn as you've never seen them before.
Ha ha ha! Heart behind the tits.
Oh my God, dude!
What Jonathan Kite, where can people find you? Are you on the Twitter?
At JB Kite.
At JB Kite, and watch the show Two Broke Girls on at 9/8 Central every Monday on CBS. It's a great show.
Thank you, sir.
Jonathan, you're hilarious
Thank
on
you
it.
Very much.
We didn't even talk sports. You're gonna have to come back.
I'll come back anytime.
Yeah,
dude,
yeah. All right, obviously. Gotta come back, Adam. Plug your stuff, man.
Find me at Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy, AdamRayTV.com for videos and dates. I'll be at the Irvine Improv Wednesday at 8 and 10 and the Ice House on Thursday and some
More stuff.
More stuff coming up.
BradWilliamsComedy.com. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad. I got dates coming up at the Omaha Funny Bone, the Comedy Works in Denver. Go to BradWilliamsComedy.com. Click the tour schedule. Jonathan Kite, you're amazing.
Thank you so much for having me.
Look him up.
I'll be at Workaholics in 2 weeks.
Hey!
Oh, yeah.
There you go, Adam Ray. So look us all up. Thanks for tuning in. This has been the About Last Night Show. Please try to remember our names in the morning.
You're listening to the GoCast Network.
Are you tired about how our government is run? Do you want a better life for you and your family? Isn't it time for America to return to the greatness it once was? Are you ready to bring America back to the people? Well, there's a new social media website that allows all of America's voices to be heard. Votepedia, which stands for Voice of the Electorate, is a nonpartisan geopolitical social network. Votepedia is on a mission to create a nationally accepted nonpartisan social network for debate, discussion, and opinions of every American. Using 21st century technology, Votepedia is striving to return the government to the way our forefathers envisioned America: of the people, by the people, for the people. Votepedia is the new voice and platform for all Americans. To register and have your voice be heard, go to www.votepedia.com. That's votepedia.com. If you're tired of the same old story from Washington and want to do something about it, go to votepedia.com. Votepedia, for the people, by the people.
Have you ever made a purchase, bought something, gone into a store, picked up an item, and thought to yourself, I sure wish I could pay GoCast Network? Well, great, because now's your chance. Brothers and sisters, put your hands together for this great opportunity. Go to GoCastNetwork.com and click on the Amazon link. Buy your stuff from us at the GoCast Network Amazon link. Click it on, click it on. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Click on the Amazon link. Click on the Amazon link. Click on the Amazon link and support the GoCast Network. That's all I got to say. Buy your stuff from us. Thank you.
Hey, this is Gary Busey. Not sure where I am right now, but I know that I'm listening to the interview with Fraser Smith on the GoCast Network.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore, because it's here, and it's funny. And I love you.